Onward and Upward, your conservative voice right here in one of America's most liberal stations. And let's see if I can get the music happening. That's another question. That's going to be tricky. Let me just work on that. Let's see here. Let me go to Rivendell. Oh, I think that... Oh, there we go. Okay. Zach is here, so I think we're going to go with that. Let me see. I think it's number 7. Zach, let me just... Can you walk me through this?
Yes.
So we're going to number 7, is that it?
Yes, Rivendell.
And it's on. Now, how do I get the thing to happen?
And now you turn up, hit the automation.
Hit automation, which is what? Right here, right?
The green button right there.
The green.
Now the other one. So down.
Down.
So it's
down,
in the down, top down, right down. Corner, but not like the top right.
This one?
No, up 4 up, and to left 1.
So the left automation on. Yep. There we go. I should have figured that one out.
Good morning. You're listening to 91.5 WMFO in Medford. This is the Astro Hour. My name is Zach Going, and I go to school here. And I've got two very important guests today. Full house today. First, we got a Medford Public School teacher and my friend since freshman year of high school, Chris Del Russo.
What up?
Woo! Yeah. We need the applause. I should have put on a noise sound box.
Yeah.
I really wish. I really wish we had like applause in here. And then we've got Sean Freeman has been my friend since sophomore year of high school. Yeah. There we go.
All right.
Yeah. I normally start. Okay, so the way this started out is like the first three episodes of this show were like fairly well scripted, where I had like a good intro that would like talk about facts of the day, similar to how Colbert started the rapport every day with like the headlines. But I would be like, oh, facts about today. And then that just devolved into me feeling the need to say interesting facts. But I've enlisted my two lovely guests here today to give me some facts about today. So here we go. Do either of you have anything interesting about today?
Today, in 1964, the Civil Rights Act of 1964 passed after an 83-day filibuster in the Senate.
What? That deserves an... Do you have the air horn out still?
Okay. I do.
Yeah. Put that... That deserves that. Yay! Civil Rights Act. That and the Voting Rights Act. Very important.
Also, 23 Thanks, years LBJ. Ago today, U.S. reopens Guantanamo Naval Base to process refugees. 23 years ago today.
Oh. Very different use of Guantanamo in recent years.
Also, today, on this date in 1949... South Africa begins implementing apartheid. No mixed marriages. Bad vision.
Wow, we got both apartheid and the Civil Rights Act.
Also on this day, in 1613, Shakespeare's Globe Theater burned down.
Alright. That was during a performance of Henry VIII.
And this ended very badly.
I got a good one. 1652, Massachusetts declares itself an independent commonwealth.
Okay, wait.
That's what this historynet.com says.
Okay, yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Because I remember celebrating another Massachusetts independence thing, like, in the past on this show, but I guess that was a different thing, the more I think about it.
I'm trying to find famous...
I love Massachusetts, so...
Any famous deaths or births? Let's check.
Audrey Hepburn died 2003 today.
Catherine Hepburn.
Oh, Catherine.
Not Audrey.
Catherine Hepburn.
Different completely Hepburn. Different people.
Whoops.
Different Hepburn. God, I can't believe you mixed up your Hepburns.
Any famous births?
I don't know.
Let's check Wikipedia because
that's what I always do on these. Is just check Wikipedia. Wow.
Ooh, Kawhi Leonard. Happy birthday, Kawhi Leonard.
Ooh, what birthday is it for Kawhi Leonard?
It is his 26th. Who is Kawhi Leonard? He's an American basketball player playing for the San Antonio Spurs.
You see, you're the only person who would actually like care about like the sport. Like I pass by all the sports people when I'm doing this. When I'm like checking.
George Washington.
What?
Goethal, engineer of the Panama Canal, was born today.
Here's a song from the new movie Baby Driver. Here is neat. Let's hope I got the ox right. Yes. Can't find out.
1, 2, 3, 4. The time of Louie Louie and little Latin Loopy Loo. And I know we can't have those times back again, but we can have parties like there were then. We need more parties in the USA. We need more parties in the USA. Could there be block parties about which I don't know? Maybe there neighborhoods where I don't go. Could there be all these parties down some little lane with potato chips sitting there and guitars playing? We need more parties in the USA. Well, my friends were having a party. Said somebody called up complaining, everybody kept walking. He said, go home, go home, go home, go home. He said, go home, go home, go home. And that's no good for parties in the USA. That's no good for papa, papa, lupelu. No good for staying home or not having fun. A cold era has begun. Now things were bad before, there was lots of loneliness, but in 1965 things were not like this. Well, we had somehow that I can't name. He said, go home, go home, go home, go home. He said, go home, go home, go home. And that's no good for parties in the USA. No, papa, papa, lupe, lupe. Oh, yeah. People are moving to California who hate the beach and things. I think they'd rather watch TV than hear a real person sing. Of course, nowadays at parties, you got louder stereo equipment. So now if the party's too loud, it's like a radioactive shipment. I say nowadays at parties, for example, you got louder stereo bass. So now if the thing's too loud, it's like a toxic beat-up case. Well, nowadays at parties, you know, you got louder stereos, right? So now if it's too loud, it's like a noxious chemical sex. Well, parties in the USA. He said, go home, go home. Mine in Huntington Beach, they weren't loud when the officers entered. I mean, these officers, man, they weren't billy. I mean, they were so uncentered. They said, go home, go home, go home. That's all good for parties in the USA. We need more. Papa, papa, lupe, lupe. We need more. Hey,
shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it.
There we go. Oh my God. That was Jonathan Richman in the actually I think that was just Jonathan Richman with Parties in the USA.
Not the Miley Cyrus version.
Not the Miley Cyrus version. Miley Cyrus obviously covered that song in 2009?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
So
Not as good as somewhere the Weird in Al that parody. Era. The Weird Al parody, Party in the CIA.
Party in the USA is 2009,
my,
you're right.
One of my favorites, like, wow, I'm so surprised I got that. I'm so
that was like the height of her popularity, so that I guess that worked.
I actually enjoy Miley now, honestly.
Now that she's done culturally appropriating.
Yeah, she's done with the weird stuff, and now she's like kind of just being a good person, like a decent musician. So like, I think she's fun. She is talented as a musician. I just think that like Bangers, the album, was just not her being a musician. It was just kind of her being existing. You know, so
she's alive.
Yeah, barely. But I mean, she's always been good. Yeah. So Snapchat maps. This is the topic of today, folks. Chris, do you want to explain what Snapchat maps are?
I don't really know much about it, but from my understanding, they've updated Snapchat so now that when you pinch the screen from when you're on the camera, it takes you to like a Google Maps style thing where if you've enabled the feature or you just haven't disabled it, because I think it's once you update it, it's automatically enabled.
No, it's not automatically enabled.
Oh, it isn't? Okay. No. I didn't enable it, so that's why I assumed it was.
Or at least the first time that I updated it, it did ask me, do you want to like take part in this?
Well, it tells you either using a Bitmoji, which is something that people use.
It shows you where you and all your friends are, essentially.
Yeah, it shows you, like, your location. Approximate. Not exact, but it's pretty accurate.
Exact.
I think it's pretty accurate.
Zach and I are on it right now. It shows us together on the radio station. Actually, it shows us on top of Curtis Hall, which is where the radio station is located. So
It's definitely accurate to, like, 50 meters, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah. Pretty good.
I would say, like, 20 meters. But, like, I'm for it. I mean, I think if everyone's consenting, I do think it's kind of weird that all of these apps and all these social media, like, just kind of make the assumption that, like,
you want to know where all your
connectivity is always better.
Yeah.
You know? like, it is, like, does this have to do with Snapchat is, like, the question.
It's just,
you know? Yeah. What does this have to do with, like, sending stupid photos and messages to your friends?
Well, if you want to know where your friends are taking those weird, stupid pictures or where they're taking those nice scenic shots,
I guess, yeah, now I don't need to ask them where they are. I'll just figure it out.
What mountain are you on that you took that really nice scenescape or whatever? I'm like, oh, yeah. Now I don't have to ask you. So even less connectivity.
Yeah. That being said, I don't have too many friends that are like.
Yeah, I've got maybe like 10 who are like opted into it out of the 60, 70 something that I have on.
Yeah, I've got like. I think I might have like almost 20, and most of them are in this area, so most of them are just like around like the map of Medford, but I have one shout out to Charlie Driver, who's in New York.
I have two everyone's in like the New Hampshire, Massachusetts area.
Yeah.
And then one is in the Philippines.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Not like living there, but visiting.
Yeah.
And another's in like Aruba or something.
That's cool.
So that's it's like cool. Everybody's concentrated in the Northeast, and then these two random ones who are just on the opposite ends of the map.
I'll be very interested to see what happens. Or I guess like a lot of my friends from school haven't like enabled it, or just like don't care, or I'm not friends with them on Snapchat. Mm-hmm. But like I'm very interested to see what would happen if I get like 30 of my friends just all conglomerated into like the one Tufts campus area.
They're all hanging out.
Because right now they're all like all my friends who have this enabled are kind of spread out around the city, you know, so it like works and I can tell who everyone is kind of. But like what if there are like 50 of them?
I think in one place. There was a meme about this where there was like 50 Bitmojis all in one house and there was one Bitmoji off to the distance that was like when all your friends have a party without you.
Now you can know when your friends don't invite you places.
Yeah. I mean, well, to be honest, I remember having a conversation with a friend once when they deleted their Snapchat maybe a year ago actually. And they're like, yeah, I deleted it because I felt like every day I saw a bunch of people hanging out without me and it was just like not fun for me. So I'd just rather like not know about that, you know? And I was like, that, you know, that makes sense. Like,
well, that's what social media has become.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Or like you feel like the pressure to like go out and do something every night because like you see people doing stuff every night.
Isn't that what
You have to put it on your story.
We're big Bo Burnham fans, me and you, Zach. Don't you remember?
Which song is that?
No, not from a song. Like, from before he did, on his last stand-up special, before he did his final song. He's talking about people, like, performing. And he's like, social media is just a way for you to perform and then sit in your bed at the end of the day and be a satisfied audience member viewing everything you've done.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, too, because, like, the way he makes that sound, the way Bo Burnham makes that sound is, like, very empty and not fun.
Isn't it, though?
But, like, I don't know. Like, I was at the zoo yesterday with my mom, right? And I was just taking Snapchats.
You were playing Duran Duran's Hungry Like the Wolf.
While there were wolves in front of me. And, like, I was playing, like, Simon and Garfunkel's America while I was looking at, like, eagles. And I was Snapchatting those. And, like, that was really fun for me. And it was, like, very creative.
Yeah, but...
You know? So it's, like... it's fun.
But that's what I do with my like Facebook and stuff. I just post up stupid jokes, and my Instagram's become
you got Aloha
taking
Fridays.
Stupid pictures of me wearing Hawaiian shirts and trying to do the most ridiculous hashtags I can think of. Like, this is
that
just
was entertaining
a mask.
For me.
This
I
is just
that.
A mask for my declining mental health. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, funny, but at the same time, it's just kind of stupid. It doesn't really add much to who I am.
But I still think it's better than like. You know, I feel like every generation has like something stupid that they do.
Then again,
you know,
let's be clear. For as much as millennials get made fun of, our parents' generation bought Pet Rocks. So.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I feel like if this were the 70s, we'd just be like watching Welcome Back Kotter reruns, you know? Like,
Mr. Cottair.
That's even stupider.
Mr. Cottair. Hey, listen, that launched John Travolta as a megastar.
That's very sad. That's very sad. Shout out to Welcome Back Kotter.
If you want to get involved in this conversation.
No!
Kidding. Don't call
mute
in.
Mute your mic.
Don't call in, but you can find the number on the WMFL website.
Yeah, whatever you do, you don't want to call 85.
You're both shut off.
Your mic still works. They can hear us.
We'll be talking.
City's ripped back sides. He
pleasure I get. I focus on the pleasure, something I can treasure. Can you picture that? Can you picture that?
I got you now. Really nothing to it. Anyone can do it. It's easy and we all know how. Now begins a changing, mental rearranging. Nothing's really where it's at.
Down the Eiffel Tower is holding up a flower. I gave it to a Texas cat.
Fact is there's nothing out there you can't do. Yeah, even Santa Claus believes in you. All of us are winning, picking and a grinning, loaded but the love to jam. Jelly belly giggling, dancing and a wiggling, honey, that's the way I am.
I lost my heart in Texas, northern lights of Texas, I keep it underneath my hat.
And we're back. That was Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem with Can You Picture That? Of course, that's by the Muppets.
Who else?
I did a Muppet tune last week, and I did one this week. Also, I love how in our logging system, it has an art for artist Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem, which is awesome. Of course, they're a real band. Sean has something to talk about that we know nothing about.
Yeah. So... I was introduced to this by a friend at college, and so there's this guy on YouTube called Colin Furze, and he's from the UK. I don't know which part, but I think it's England. And what he does is he was a plumber, and what he likes to do is just kind of like build things and gadgets and whatnot.
Yeah.
So what he did in this specific video is he took an old 1960s bumper car. And then, well, I mean, the sound's just going to be, it's not really that great sound. It's just for, so he took an old 1960s bumper car and squeezed a 600cc motorcycle engine in it. And so now he just drives that around.
This is great radio.
And he does, yeah. Visual radio is the best. For those of you watching or listening at home, this is a 360 shot of a bumper car. As if, imagine you're watching Knight Rider. And they're doing a cool shot of Kit. They're doing that with a bumper car. Oh, and now he's in this bumper car going easily 60 miles an hour down a...
It's 100. They 100 clocked it at 100 miles an hour. So
down a dark desert highway. Cool wind in his hair.
Warm smell of colitis rising up.
But basically, this is what I've been watching on YouTube because he's wildly entertaining. Are you familiar with a pulse jet?
No.
Well, pulse jet is basically just a type of jet engine.
Because we're not nerds.
But he put it on a bicycle or whatever, and he made the bicycle go like 50 miles an hour, and he puts it on like go-karts and tries to make go-karts go super fast. He did a baby stroller. So basically what he does is he likes to make things that go really slow go really, really fast. And it's just really entertaining to watch.
That's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. How much does a pulse jet cost? Let's see.
Well, you can just build one. I mean, you can make a technical pulse jet out of a mason jar. There's ways to do it. Yeah. It's basically it's kind of like a vacuum where it just keeps sucking in air, and by doing so it ignites itself and it pulses and it uses that as propulsion. Which is pretty cool.
But he also does. I'm googling pulse jet, and then I'm hitting shopping.
He also does other things, like he made Wolverine claws and the Assassin's Creed like gauntlet thing, and he can like shoot on like a rope out of his thing, and it'll like wench him up the rope and up buildings and stuff.
This says wild. $30.
Yeah.
This says I can buy a jet engine for $30.
Pulse jets are relatively incredibly easy to make and pretty cheap. I think the largest cost would be your fuel, which you can power by gasoline, propane. You can have liquid or air fuel. It's like extremely
versatile.
Yes.
Yeah, look, there are $325 cufflinks in the shape of jet engines that are more expensive than the jet engines themselves.
Yep.
I hate jewelry like that. Man, like, why is it? Man.
You guys are a bunch of nerds.
You're a nerd. All right, let's do a PSA. So this PSA, the title of it is just Indoor Baseball Underage. I have no idea what it's supposed to be, but it's a journey we're going to go on together. So I have some guesses. I have some guesses.
Let's enjoy this together, everybody.
We'll see.
You know what really gets a party started? Indoor baseball. Yeah, just find a broom or a pool cue, and you can use, like, anything as a ball. Cans, bottles, shoes.
Hey, bro, toss me that avocado.
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Underage drinking and driving, the ultimate party foul. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Thank you, PSA, for that lovely idea.
That got dark.
I mean, I don't know how dark that got. I was like, okay, I knew where this was going. I was like, okay, this is going to be a thing about the dangers of...
Yo, bro, toss me that avocado.
Toss me that avocado is great. I want a t-shirt now that says, bro, toss me that avocado.
Yo, bro, toss me that avocado.
Speaking of shirts, my sister and I are trying...
Wait, when were we talking about shirts?
Because I said I want a shirt that says, yo, bro, toss me that avocado.
Oh, I wasn't listening.
My sister and I want to make shirts that say Massachusetts State Bear and then a picture of Keytar Bear.
That man...
Keytar Bear is a hero.
He's back out there now, right?
Yeah. He was out there. He was out in Davis yesterday as I was working. He did a three-hour set.
Wow.
Yeah, he goes hard. I didn't get a chance to tip him because I was late to work, but I would have had I got the chance.
That bear is an American hero.
He's amazing. Did you hear about the...
Is your text message ringtone really R2D2?
It's R2D2, yeah.
His GoFundMe got like a 400% goal, right?
So they asked for 500 and they got 10,000.
Oh my God.
So... my coworker Christina is listening. Hi, Christina. Do we have anything else to talk about? Or should we go into more music?
Let's go into more music. We'll think
Yay,
of stuff.
Yay, music!
Time to brainstorm, boys.
We'll be better.
This is... I need to play a Blondie song every episode, so this is Look Good in Blue by Blondie.
You look good in blue. Someone like if it's all right with you, I could give you some head and shoulders to lie on. You look good in blue. I know what you mean when you say you've seen the end. Someone like you. If it's all right with you, I could give you some head and shoulders to lie on. Throw your weight on me, baby. Don't complain on me, baby. Escaping me, next to me. We'll be right back.
look good in blue. It matches your skin, your eyes dripping with pain. If it's alright with you, I could give you some head and shoulders to lie on. Yes, I could give you some head and shoulders to lie on.
I need the backtrack to start. Come on, backtrack. That
you
no,
playing the Rick and
no,
Morty
I don't need the Rick
song?
And Morty theme song.
Science. <Here we go. laughs>
I'll just let it play through. I'll just let it play through.
This is the 30-minute version.
Oh, great. I know this isn't the 30. We're gonna. Chris has
Morty,
some.
Morty.
Chris has some science news to talk about. Can you do it in a Rick voice?
No.
Morty.
Oh,
jeez, Rick. Entertaining radio.
Bad radio.
Oh, jeez, Rick.
Oh, jeez, Rick.
Gonna show him way up there, Morty.
Oh, jeez, Rick. Morty, this is news. NASA wants to probe Uranus in search of gas. This is an actual headline from the website BGR.com, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, of course, the well-known
BGR.com.
And peer-reviewed BGR.com.
However, let's be clear. The non-fake news Fox News has since come out and said NASA eyes close-up mission to Uranus, Neptune, which is what this website was talking about on June 16th. So let me talk to you, ladies and gentlemen, about what this mission entails. NASA is currently spitballing some missions that'll give us a better look at Uranus than we've ever gotten. Sorry.
Can we pronounce it the other way? Can we pronounce it Uranus?
Uranus. No, I like the way I pronounce it better.
Okay.
The theoretical missions, which would see NASA spacecraft heading to both Uranus and Neptune, would be of huge scientific benefit. The idea is to determine what planets are made of, get an idea of the atmospheric composition, and take lots of fantastic photographs, too. Researchers hope to study the weather and overall climate of the planets while determining how they fit into the overall makeup of our solar system. Both Uranus and Neptune still hold many secrets yet to be revealed, and the proposed missions would both include flybys and an orbiter that would send an atmospheric probe to Uranus in order to sample its gases and detect elements.
Butt jokes.
I'm 12. A similar option exists for Neptune, though the actual details of the mission would need to be fully fleshed out before it comes anywhere near a formal proposal. Hold on, there's one more paragraph.
Okay,
about like the timing of them.
So.
Just play it again. It's really adding to the segment.
Okay, go.
The missions are still a long way from reality, both in funding and time frame. NASA says that 2030 through 2036 would be feasible for a Uranus trip, while Neptune mission would need to take place between 2030 and after 2040 due to timing of a gravity-assisted boost around Jupiter.
Gravity assists are super cool.
Yeah.
Like, as far as, like, it's super.
This
super
cool. is the Astro Hour, so I found something interesting. I found something related to space about NASA wanting to probe Uranus for gas.
It's funny because every time you gravity assist, if you gravity assist to gain speed, you're actually taking energy away from the orbit of the planet you're gravity assisting around. So every time we do it, we're actually slowing down like Jupiter or whatever. Jupiter is a common one.
I don't know what you're talking about. I just did it for the butt jokes.
Yeah, I know you just did it for the butt jokes.
Have you heard the theory on Jupiter, like, was possibly a second star that never ignited?
Well, I mean, it's not even necessarily a theory so much as it is, like, if you get a planet with that big of a mass, or any body with that big of a mass, eventually it's going to ignite. I mean, but to call it that, I mean, it would need to be, if it was slightly bigger, I know this from a class, yeah. If it was slightly bigger, it'd be like a brown dwarf, which is just, it's like a star, but not a star. Like, there's no fusion happening in the core, but it's like, it's hard. It would have to be a lot bigger for it to ignite to be a star.
No, I heard the theory because a lot of solar systems, two stars are very common.
Yeah,
in
binary
it.
Systems and
that,
are really common.
Yeah, and it was what I heard, you know, that they were trying to figure out for some reason why, like, our current star ignited and possibly, like, stole, you know, the gases from Jupiter, so Jupiter never got big enough to ignite or something like that. So.
Yeah. Mm. Cool. That was science.
Science.
Yeah.
Whenever I knew.
We'll talk about BoJack Horseman. Stay around, folks, after the next set of songs for some talk about the Netflix original BoJack Horseman.
Have we lost anyone?
We've definitely lost people.
Listen,
what are you talking about? This is radio gold.
People sticking around for the butt jokes.
I don't really care. Whoa, we've gained one!
Exactly. Woo! 13.
All right, here's a request from coworker Christina, who I asked for a request, and
hi,
me being as humble as I am.
Way to ask us for requests.
I did.
And you didn't accept them.
That's true.
Hey!
ABBA with People Need Love. And before that was Standing Outside a Broken Phone Booth with Money in My Hand by Primitive Radio Gods. Right now, hold on, is it playing? There we go. This is the theme to BoJack Horseman. Oh, this is not...
This is a weird version.
This
of
is
it.
Not
I'm
the
not a
real.
Fan of this.
Man. Oh, I don't like this at all.
This is a remix.
I've got a better I've got a better version of my phone.
Remix!
I've got a better version of my phone. We're going to use that as a backtrack. I love how we were like, oh yeah, we're going to talk about BoJack Horseman, but I don't know really know what we're going to talk about. But Chris and I have both been reading the BoJack Reddit recently because we really want the season 4 trailer to be released. And apparently they usually get released the last week of June. And
we got a day and a half.
Got 2 days left, man. We got 2 days left. I don't know how soon that is. But like, they've had a year to work on this.
I guess I was reading in the wake of the election results, they scrapped everything and rewrote the entire season.
I didn't hear they scrapped everything.
They scrapped
like,
a lot of
I've
it.
I've heard
and
they like
rewrote
reworked
the entire season.
A lot. Oh wait, here we go. There we go. This is the actual version, and this is also the this is like the 4 minute long version too.
It's all right.
On loops. Well, no, it's like it goes in depth. Which also they use the theme in probably the best scene of season 2,
which was when
he's going back to LA.
Oh yeah.
The
when
montage.
He's riding on the boat.
Yeah. So good. What's this guy's name? Ralph Carney, who wrote this song?
I think so. No, it's Raphael Bob Blocksberg.
No, that's the show. But the guy who wrote the theme is Ralph Carney.
I know.
BoJack's theme. Or Patrick Carney? It's Patrick Carney. Featuring Ralph Carney. Okay. Amazing show. For those of you who've never seen it, BoJack Horseman is the show about an anthropomorphic horse.
Turn it down a little bit. I can't hear you over it.
The show about an anthropomorphic horse who is an ex
sitcom star
in the
vein
the 90s,
of like Bob Saget,
who has done nothing in the past 27 years, it must
something
be now.
Like
yeah, just about.
Well, he wrote a book.
20 years. Yeah, he wrote a book now. Season one, he wrote a book.
He had a book ghost
yeah.
written about him.
Yes. Right. Yes. And he had hit in later in season three, you learn that he had another show in the mid-aughts called The BoJack Horseman Show.
That
but for the most part, he has done nothing. And it's his journey to try to do less of nothing.
Mm. I started watching this show thinking that it wasn't going to be as serious as it was.
Yeah.
Because the horse, you know, it just, there's a lot of animals that portray
Hollywood.
Yeah,
about half the cast are animals. Yeah.
So I was like, oh, this is going to be a fun, silly show. And then it got really deep, really fast. And I was like, whoa.
Funny enough, I was watching some YouTube videos and like they go super in depth about like the psychology of BoJack Horseman, mm-hmm. like equating it to the myth of Sisyphus.
Yeah,
I don't know if you saw that. It's like the
yeah.
myth, you
know, I don't
the
know if I've Sisyphus. Seen this,
is,
yeah,
it's like a guy Sisyphus, who pushes yeah. the boulder up the hill only to watch it roll back down, and that he has to do that every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a realization that it doesn't matter, but doing it anyway, mm-hmm. and finding happiness in it. That is like the whole idea of BoJack Horseman, in that life is meaningless and that there's no point to it, but still finding a way to be happy in
common
it anyway.
Theme in Rick and Morty too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that, I mean, I think Rick and Morty's a little, so when I first started watching BoJack, I was like, oh, okay, I get it. It's just another like adult cartoon, you know, like yeah. a South Park or like a Family yeah. Guy or whatever. And like it quickly like, yeah. turned into something more. It's still hilarious, but mm-hmm. It turned into like a lot more. Rick and Morty 2 kind of, I mean, Rick and Morty, I still think